this great passage. I'm sure it's familiar to us all, the feeding of the 5,000. I trust that it will come to us today with freshness, and maybe even pick some wee nugget that will help us and encourage us as we go through another week. Food is vital, isn't it? If you're like me, you love your food. It is important for us to live, to be healthy. Professor Carlson, speaking about food and the body, he says this, quote, "Food is necessary for all God's creatures. A bird can only go 9 days without food. A dog can go 20 days without food. A turtle, 500 days. A snake, 800 days. A fish, 1,000 days. Insects, 1,200 days. Can you imagine? A human being can only go 12 days without food. So the psalmist, writing in Psalm 136:25, says, "The Lord gives food to every creature. His love endures forever." What's your favorite food? Imagine, I know you're thinking about it right now, your favorite food. Maybe it's a big, juicy steak with garlic fries and peas and onions. Or maybe it's a roast chicken. Maybe that's what's on the menu today when you go home, a roast chicken. Or maybe it's a korma out of the Indian, or a pizza, or a Chinese, or whatever it is. And it just gets the juices going, doesn't it? Your mouth's beginning to water, and as you think about your food, or even desserts, if you've got a sweet tooth like me, you love, like sticky toffee pudding. Who doesn't love sticky toffee pudding? Come on, with ice cream. It's just heaven, isn't it? You know, or lemon meringue, or eclairs with that chocolate sauce. It's just wonderful. But imagine if you went home today and you sat down to your favorite meal and it just tasted like Brussels sprouts. Imagine. Wouldn't it be awful? Or it tasted like cardboard. But thank the Lord, He gave us taste buds so that we can enjoy different flavors and experience different foods. And that's why food is good and food is important. And that's why we give God thanks for our daily bread, for our daily needs. God is the giver of life and the sustainer of life, isn't he? He is the one that gives us breath every day. He's the one that keeps us. He is the one that allows our hearts to pump blood around our bodies every minute of every day. Because he's not only the giver of life, not only the one that knit us together in our mother's womb, as the psalmist puts it, but he's the sustainer of life. He's the one that keeps us and sustains us throughout our life. And Jesus is everything that we need. That's the big picture here that Luke in his gospel is driving home. In fact, all the gospel writers are talking about here, that Jesus is everything that we need in life. Feeding these 5,000 men, Jesus was displaying creation power here. Scholars estimate that there would have been around 15 to 20,000 people that day. Don't be limited to 5,000. It was 5,000 men. If you take in the children and take in the women, scholars reckon 15 to 20,000. The point is there was a huge number of people, a large number of people. And apart from the resurrection of Jesus, this miracle is recorded in all the four Gospels. So it's important for us. And that's why we want to look at it again afresh this morning. It marks the end of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. Verse 51 gives us the turning point for Jesus. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. So news was spreading fast about Jesus. Some were coming to see the miracles that he could perform. Others were curious about his teaching. Some were looking for a new political leader, someone who would liberate them from Roman rule. But yet we know today that God sent Jesus to liberate us, didn't he? We are here this morning because we have been liberated. We have been set free from the bondage, from the captivity of sin and death. Jesus has liberated us. And we are the children of God, the people of God, the family of God, the church of God today because of Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, come on. Where are you? Don't sleep on me yet. Later. And so, can I say this morning, can I say that whatever, I don't know your background, I don't know you this morning, but whatever background you've come from, wherever you are this morning, whatever is holding you back from the Lord, whatever sin or sins has got a grip on you, Jesus can free you this morning. Jesus can free you. Hallelujah. Jesus can liberate you. He can give you life, abundant life, eternal life, life to the full, life to the max. His life, that's what eternal life is. It's his life that he came to give to you and to me. Life was very busy for the Lord Jesus and the disciples. You can imagine ministry was hectic. We see from verses 1 to 9 that Jesus had sent out the 12 disciples on a mission. They were healing the sick, preaching about the kingdom of God. They had come back telling Jesus all that they had done. They were excited of all the things that they were able to do in Jesus' name, the miracles that they were able to perform. We're also told that Jesus had just heard about his cousin, John the Baptist. Remember that Herod had beheaded this great prophet. And so Luke is telling us now that Jesus withdrew into a boat for Bethsaida on the west coast of Galilee. And I guess that we can understand, can't we? We can understand this morning why Jesus withdrew in that little boat across the lake of Galilee to Bethsaida. We can understand he needed time away. Time to be alone with God the Father. Time to grieve for his cousin, John the Baptist. Time to think. Time to pray. Time to rest and to eat and to recharge the batteries. We all need that, don't we? We all need that day off. We all need that time when we can spend with our loved ones, with our families, when we can rest, because rest is important for our bodies. That's why Jesus gave us the one day in the week where we can set aside not just to meet together, but to rest. And so rest is important. And so Jesus needed time alone to rest and to pray and to eat. And maybe even just to talk to the disciples, to share some more things about the kingdom of God, to prepare them for what's about to take place. But anyway, notice verse 11, the crowds followed Jesus. They ran 6 miles around the lake, can you imagine? I can't run 1 mile, right? Let's be honest. Look at the shape of mine, right? I love my food and my clothes are clean. I badly need to lose weight again. And here we see that they ran 6. For some of you, that's no bother, I would say. For some of you, that's a walk in the park. You know, the only running I do is running to the toilet. Excuse the pun. But anyway, here we find that they ran 6 miles around the lake. What did Jesus do? Notice what Luke tells us. Did he
Did he ask the disciples to turn the boat around? Did he chase the people away? Did he tell them, sorry guys, I need time to be alone here. I need just my own space. I need just to get away. Thank you for coming around the lake, but I just need to get away. Is that what Jesus said? No. Point number one. Jesus welcomed them. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Matthew, in his account, tells us that Jesus had compassion on them. Mark says the same with this added bit on his. Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You see, here we see the very heart of God. The very heart of God. Despite everything that was going on in the Lord's life, in the busyness of ministry, and so on and so forth, Jesus still had time for others. He put others before his own needs. That's the point. There are two things we learn about Jesus here. Jesus sets for us a great example in what it means to follow him. You know as well as I do that we are not here on earth, on planet earth, to serve ourselves. From Jesus to the Apostle Paul to Peter and to the Gospel writers, or to all the New Testament writers, the New Testament tells us time and time again, tells the church, that we're not here for ourselves. We're here to serve others. Remember what Paul said to the church in Philippi in chapter 2? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Wow. There's a verse to chew on. There's the challenge, isn't it? Are we selfishly serving ourselves, serving our own ambitions, our own interests, our own pleasures, or whatever it is? Or are we serving others for the sake of Christ Jesus, who is King of our lives? That's the challenge, brothers and sisters, isn't it? That's the challenge. How are we doing this morning? How are we doing in the light of God's word? When we think of our neighbors who are perishing today, when we think of our loved ones who are going to a lost eternity, when we think of our colleagues, when we think of our friends at school, at university, at work, when we think of this world, when we think of the Great Commission to go into all the world and make disciples, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. How am I doing? What am I doing for the sake of Jesus? For his name's sake? That's the challenge for me. I don't know about you this morning, but that's my challenge. I know, as a pastor, I know there are many in the church today, and probably some in this congregation, many brothers and sisters today, and they have been hurt. They serve the Lord faithfully, continually, relentlessly, and yet they've been hurt. They have been bullied, left broken, feeling abandoned, betrayed by other Christians. And because of that hurt, it has caused many in the church to stop serving. And our sister this morning is asking for people to serve in Sunday school. challenge for us is, will we step up to the mark? Not for ourselves, not for our own sake, not for our own glory, but for the sake of King Jesus and the gospel and the kingdom of God. Will we step up to the mark and say, here I am, Lord, wholly available. As for me, Lord, as for me, I will serve. Not for my own ambition, but for the sake of Jesus. The one who set us the great example of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. What it means to be a Christian today. What it means not to look at ourselves, but to look at others with compassion. With brokenness in our hearts, because they need to know the gospel, the good news. And so can I encourage you this morning, if you're carrying deep wounds today, to remember Jesus this morning, who went to the cross for rebels like you and I. When he was accused and mocked and ridiculed, he opened not his mouth. For our sakes, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords humbled himself and went to that cross. Mind-blowing, isn't it? And if he can do that for us, surely we can tell someone about Jesus. We can show compassion, just like Bethany House showed compassion to that guy in the video. And that guy saw the beauty of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus. And Jesus liberated that guy from drugs. And that guy can, and Jesus can liberate this town. Do you believe that? Jesus can liberate this town. If we will immobilize ourselves, strategize, if we will be faithful, if we will be disciples of Jesus, and maybe you're doing that, and if you are doing that, praise God, and let me encourage you to keep going, to keep persevering, to keep looking on to Jesus, to keep plodding on and running the race and building the church, because Jesus, it's not us that's building the church, but it's Jesus building the church as we mobilize ourselves and go out in the name of the Lord. And so, be encouraged, church. Be encouraged. Jesus can help you. Jesus will heal you. Jesus will help you and give you the courage to pick up the mantle again and to serve. Second point is this, the great example. Jesus takes great joy. Remember this. Jesus takes great joy in serving you. Jesus takes great joy in serving you. Hear his voice saying to us again this morning, come. Hear him welcoming us into his presence. He welcomed this crowd that ran 6 miles around the Lake of Galilee. Jesus welcomed them. He had compassion on them. Don't doubt his love and compassion for you. If Jesus had compassion on a crowd he didn't know and had no relationship with, how much more is Jesus, your good shepherd, going to show love and compassion to you, his children? Brothers and sisters, hear his voice today, calling you, welcoming you, saying, come. What does he say? Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. In other words, learn how I can help you. Learn how I can support you. Learn how I can carry your burdens. No matter what you're going through in life, you can still have joy in serving. You can still have joy in reaching out. Because it takes your eyes off your own problems. It takes your eyes off your own situation. And it fixes it on others who are in need. Because your needs and what you're going through can help someone who's going through the same situation. Amen? So learn from me, Jesus is saying. Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For your souls. Jesus wants to use you this morning. He wants to work through you. And if you need help with that, speak to your elder, speak to some of the deacons. If you want to speak to me, I make myself available today. Come and speak to me. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. We want to build you up in your faith and to release you into the world. And we should be doing that for one another. As we meet together, as we pray for one another, that we are encouraging one another to keep going and to keep sharing our faith. Second point, then, Jesus is the great provider. Point number two. Verse 12 tells us that it is now late in the afternoon, and they have been standing all day. You can imagine, after a long day of ministry, they're tired. They're now probably hungry. Their tummies would have been rumbling, and there was no McDonald's. Imagine. No Pizza Hut or Donamo's. There was no Chinese takeout or Indian or whatever your thing is. There was nothing nearby for them to go. There was nothing for miles, we're told here. And the disciples now have a great idea. What do they say? What do the disciples say to Jesus? Send them away. Can you imagine? They have learned nothing after spending time with Jesus, after listening to Jesus teach all day, and before and in previous times, they still are slow to learn. Why aren't we the same, but aren't we? Now, it looks plausible, doesn't it? The disciples say, send them away, Lord, into the nearest villages and into the nearest towns so that they can get food and lodgings for the night. That sounds very spiritual, doesn't it? It sounds, wow, these guys are on point here. This is amazing. But it's not amazing because Jesus knew their hearts. And in fact, what does Jesus say to them in response, verse 13? You, it's the emphatic, you give them something to eat. Jesus has been forceful here. He wants their attention so that they will take action. He wants them to sit up and pay attention here. I thought this week, whenever I was a child, whenever there was four of us, and three boys and a girl, now, Elaine, my sister, got away with murder, okay? I mean, she was the baby, she was the girl, and I mean, she got away with everything. But I was the oldest, so I got it all, right? If you were the oldest, I sympathize with you. I know what you went through as a child. I know what it's like. And whenever something went wrong, or I had done something, or Dad had perceived I had done something, he was a very strong character, and all he had to say is, "You boy." Never even called me by my name. When I knew you, "You boy, come here." And I knew I was, "Yes, Daddy." You know, I was panicking because I knew I was going to get a hiding. I knew I was in for it, right? And I'm not saying Jesus was going to give the disciples a hiding, but they knew that they had done something wrong, that they had said the wrong thing. You, the emphatic. And so Jesus needed the disciples to learn another valuable lesson here. And for all of us today, we need to be reminded of it, don't we? That whatever you're doing for the Lord, whatever ministry you're in, whatever job you're called to do, three things: that we can do nothing without the Lord. We are totally inadequate. And we need the Lord every day of our lives. That's why it's important that we commit ourselves every day to the Lord. Lord, I can't.
do this today, but with your grace and with your strength, Lord, I know that I can get through this day. We can't do this. Every time I preach, Lord, I can't do this. I am a nobody. I am slow to speak. I am useless, and I need your help. I need your Holy Spirit to speak through me today. Lord, will you help me and use me? Right? You get the point. We are totally inadequate. We need the Lord every day. Secondly, don't look for what you don't have. We're guilty of that, aren't we? Oh, we don't have this. We don't have this resource. We don't have that. We don't have enough money to do this. We don't have enough to do that. Don't look at what you don't have. Instead, look at what you do have and use it for the glory of God. And thirdly, Jesus, here's the point. Jesus has all the resources that you need for the task. Our great God is able to provide. And we need to have faith. The disciples, you see, they lacked faith, didn't they? Isn't that the problem that they had? Jesus, time and time again, had to say to them, remember, oh, you of little faith. And aren't we just the same? Aren't we? We take our eyes off the Lord and we look at the resources, we look at the problems, we look at the hurdles, and we think, we can't do this. We're too small. We haven't got the gifts, the abilities, we haven't got the time, or whatever the excuse we make. And we come up with all the things, and yet Jesus is saying, hold on a minute. With me, you can do all things. All things. And so the disciples, what do they say? But Lord, we have only 5 small loaves and 2 fish. And so Jesus tells them to sit the group down in 50s or thereabouts and bring me the boys' lunch. The five loaves and fish. And one commentator, he says this, that Jesus took the 5 small pieces of bread and the 2 dried pickled fish, which would have been totally inadequate for one person, never mind 20,000 people. But you see, all things are possible with God. And you see, this was not a difficult problem for Jesus. For he is the one that created this universe out of nothing. He is the God that speaks all things into existence. He is the one that is the creator of all things and the sustainer of all things. And so his power is unlimited and unmatched. Remember in chapter 8, Jesus calmed the storm, showing he had power over nature. Jesus then drives out an evil spirit, showing he had power over the supernatural. After that, he delays going to Jairus' home. His daughter then sadly dies, but Jesus arrives at the right time and brings her back to life, just as if she had been sleeping, to show that he not only was the God of providence, but the God over life and death. And now we see he is the God over creation. And so looking up to heaven, verse 16, Jesus gives thanks to his Father in heaven, and he broke the bread, as was the custom. And the food flows from his hands, we're told. Jesus, the provider of life, just like what God done with the children of Israel in the wilderness, how God provided the 40 years manna from heaven. Jesus provided for this multitude. And now Jesus does the same. And as the disciples serve the food, we're told here, can you imagine being there? Imagine being there in that small cluster, in that small gallery. And the large gallery, and the disciples kept coming. Imagine being a disciple even, and you're distributing the food, and it never runs out. It's flowing, and there's more, and there's more, and there's more. You want more? Here, have more. You're still hungry? Here, have more food. There's more bread. Look, there's more fish. Fill your bellies. Fill your boots.
that there's 12 baskets left over, one for each of the disciples, to remind them, I believe, that Jesus is the God who not only is the sustainer of life, but the provider of life, the giver of life. Isn't that a wonderful story? And what Jesus has done for this crowd, Jesus can do for us, can't he? Jesus is the bread of life. And Jesus comes to us, and he wants to provide for us. He wants to sustain us. He wants us to feed from his word. And that's why it's important that we don't neglect the word of God. I know it's important to come on the Lord's Day around the Word of God, but don't neglect the Word of God during the week. I think so many people are sadly neglecting the reading and the meditating and the feasting and delighting in the Word of God. And that's why we're starving. That's why we're starving. That's why we're hungry. That's why we're troubled and worried and anxious and threatened and not knowing what direction to go, not knowing, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because we're not in the Word. Does that make sense? My time's gone. Let me wrap this up. And so the application for us this morning is, the weary, if you're weary this morning, the weary learn that Jesus gives you his strength. The restless learn Jesus gives you his peace. The troubled learn Jesus gives you his joy. The sick learn Jesus gives you sustaining grace to help you day by day by day by day. As you have to take your medication, as you have to go to the hospital, as you have to go back to the doctor, or whatever situation you're in. The doubter learns that Jesus shows you love and compassion. The worried and the fearful learn that Jesus gives you courage to keep going and to keep pressing on in the Christian life so that you will finish well. So Psalm 34 and verse 8, with this I'm finished. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And so Jesus is our bread of life. The one who gave us his life is the one who sustains us, keeps us, and lavishes his love and grace and strength and peace and joy and contentment when we come to him, when we feast on the word of God and delight ourselves in God. For the Lord is good. Amen? Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord be with you. Please come out tonight. Psalm 11. As we look at God's word again. Let's sing.